extremely generous and a blessing. So thanks be to God for that. Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the time when we victoriously say, He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. And that is such a blessing for each and every one of us to know. That this tomb that is empty, as we even spoke earlier, means that our tomb is empty by the finished work of Jesus Christ. So we praise and we thank Him for this. Our sermon text for this Easter morning, and before we get started into that, I'd like to welcome everybody here. There's a lot of guests here today, and we are so thankful to have you to come fellowship with us and maybe spending time with your family. So I pray your Easter is a blessing today. And I also pray that you leave here today with even a morsel of thought of how truly blessed we are to have a God as gracious as our God. So with that being said, if you are willing and able, please rise for the reading of a gospel text, especially on this Easter morning. And we're going to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. And we're going to read the first 12 verses in Jesus' name. Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, beginning at verse 1. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and they bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise. And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Jonah and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them as idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose to the tomb, and stooping, he looked in, and he saw the linen clothes by themselves. And he went home marveling at what had happened. Amen. Please be seated. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that is before us. And Father, we have a clay tongue. But we ask by the Spirit that you would feed us, that you would fulfill your word, that you would sanctify us in this truth, because, Father, there is no other truth aside from your word. We thank you for this gift of life, and we ask, Father, that we would cherish it each and every moment. We ask it in his name. Amen. Every Easter, it's very powerful to talk about the attributes of Jesus. And really in the direction of his ministry. And so if we could even stop for a moment and think about that. That his ministry was extremely powerful upon this earth because he impacted people that he encountered. He did not just kind of stay to himself. He went in places that literally people could be drawn to him. And it's very, very powerful when you think about the people that went to him. They were diseased, they were hurting, they were suffering, they were persecuted. And Jesus, he never turned them away. He really had a love and an empathy for people in need. And that is really something that intrigues me and excites me. Because if you've known me for more than 12 minutes, you literally know that I have needs. That I don't have it all figured out. Just because I went to seminary doesn't mean I have every answer in the book. But our God receives us as we are, and he allows by the Spirit and the Word to improve us, to encourage us. And that's what this Word is here for today. The Word that we read today, as we call the resurrection of Jesus, is found in every one of the Gospels. Every one of them. And they may vary in slight degrees. And someone from the world or the unbelieving side may say, well, see, there's inconsistency. Have you ever thought about the fact that if there was an action that took place here today, in fact, just after my message today, if, you know, four of you were taken aside and asked, what was Pastor's message about? The varying degrees of the message that you would have? Because maybe something would trigger you and say, hey, okay, Pastor's talking about this aspect, and that really is sensitive to me. But maybe to someone else, there's a different point that is sensitive to them, and to another. We can find this, you understand that even when there's like a bad thing that takes place and the police come in and they investigate, they ask all kinds of people. Because everybody has varying degrees of knowledge of what took place. It's how we see it. So it doesn't mean that they are not consistent, they just have different views. And to me, that's beautiful because they all come consistently to the fact of he is risen. And really, that is the main point of this, that tomb is empty. And the interesting thing is there's degrees of things that do consistently be found in each and every account. Every account talks about the women went there. Every account testifies of angels being there. Every account talks about the stone being rolled away. And every account talks about the apostles and disciples doubting the words of the women. Next week, if you come, we're going to pick on doubting Thomas, as we call him. But the fact of it is, the scripture says they all doubted. Because in our humanness, that's what we have a tendency to do. But that's why Christ came, to encourage us in our faith, to drive out the doubt. So we have this very strong point here now, that it's early in the morning. And I love this because it's the women. Once again, I don't know if you women realize this, but oftentimes you keep things together. I'd like to stand up and say, well, I'm a man and I'm so strong. No, it's women that God often uses. And I've served in enough small churches to understand that often it's the women that keep those churches together. I mean, it's not really a bragging point, but it is an observation. When you go, like, to Alston was very much kept together by the women. Painesdale in the beginning was kept together by some of the women. Bruce Crossing right now, it is really kind of the women that keep things tied together. So they have a very powerful place in the ministry. They really do. So anyways, now it's the first day of the week. So this would be Sunday. And see, this to me is extremely important because the Christian church does not stand without the resurrection. That is our life. It's beautiful to observe the giving of the sacraments because that ties us back on Monday, Thursday. It's awesome and powerful. When I say awesome, I mean almost fearful, to observe on Good Friday the death of Christ. But to really come to the point of understanding on Easter, this resurrection, it is the definition of the church. He is a resurrected Christ. He's not a spirit. He's not a ghost. He is physically resurrected and brought back. And so it's just very powerful when you start looking at this account of the resurrection. So, but on the first day of the week, early at dawn, they went to the tomb. And it's talking about the women. And we get that at verse 10. But anyways, we're not going there yet. And so when they get there, what do they find? Actually, when you look in Matthew, when they're walking there, that's one of the questions they have. How are we going to get in the tomb? How are we going to put these spices, because they couldn't do it on the Sabbath day? How are we going to actually honor Jesus and put these spices on him with that stone there? Now, we may not think about it much, but even in our understanding, if you were to go to the graveyard today and you wanted to do something like this, how would you do this? You've seen them come there when you go for funerals. They got this big truck with a crane that actually lifts off the vault and does all this stuff. Well, this isn't much different. See, the tombs were carved in stone. It was like a cave. And then there would be this slab that the body would lay on. And then this stone would be rolled in front of the door, and it would drop down, actually probably about 6 inches, into a notch so that nothing could move it. And so you got these ladies with their little baskets full of, you know, herbs and stuff, and they're thinking on the way in Matthew, how are we going to open this up? How are we going to do this? But one of the things that I love about it is they still go. See, Jesse, in his pessimism, he would turn around and say, well, I can't get in there anyway, so what's the sense of going? But how are you going to ever see the opportunity or the mighty works of God unless you move forward in faith? So they continually go there. And it says here, when they got there, the stone was rolled away from the tomb. God took care of this. Now, did he need to do this to spring Jesus? No. This stone is rolled away for us as a testimony that that tomb is empty. This is for us as an encouragement that there is victory beyond this life and beyond death. So it's good for us to see this, but it is also a great example for them women when they get there and they see that this is rolled away. And so then it says that they kind of went in there and they started peeking around and they didn't see the Lord. Can you imagine the feeling that you would have? Jesus shared with them on many occasions, not only with his disciples, apostles, or the people that were just following him in general, he shared on many occasions that this would take place. But in their human understanding, it came down to dead man don't walk. You don't get up. And so this is kind of like earth-shattering for them because they, in a lot of ways, believed, even as we've spoken over the last few weeks, that now Jesus was going to free them from the grips of Rome. They were going to be a great nation again. And then with all the miracles that he had done, how in the world? I mean, here's a man that met someone that was dead and raised him from the dead. Lazarus was dead for 4 days. And he raised him. As we said, his ministry is full of powerful works. So you turn around and you see the ones that couldn't walk, he gave them the ability to walk. Them that couldn't talk, he gave them that ability. Those that could not see, he gave them sight. Those that could not speak, he gave them language. Withered hands, he healed up. The thousands he fed. I know you've heard these. I know you've known these. But how in the world, these people that are following him, how does he die? Even when he's on the cross, did they not wag their head at him saying, he saved others, can he save himself? So you have to understand that when they go to this tomb on that early morning and it's still just at dusk, how heavy they must have felt. See, this is, as we've spoken before, if you've been here when I preached about Lazarus raising, this is when Jesus cries before Lazarus' tomb. Not that he couldn't do something for Lazarus. He's gonna. He raised him. But humanity has gotten to the point where we think death is the final call. And it's not. Death is a vanquished foe in Christ Jesus. He's a vanquished foe. But they come to this tomb not understanding everything Jesus has been speaking about. They come to this tomb thinking that they could do something to honor, which is admirable. And oftentimes we continue this tradition. In our cemeteries, you can go out there and you can find matchboxes on things. You can find beers set on a tomb. You can find all kinds of things. And if it helps people here heal, I don't have a problem. But those in Christ are not there. Death is a victory. Paul says it very plainly. But their heaviness when they go there, wondering how they're going to get the tomb open, they get there and they see it's open and he's gone. And it says very plainly, they were so confused by this. So confused. So it says they were perplexed about this, but then what does it say? God didn't leave them there. God didn't leave them in this confusion. Our God is not an author of confusion. He loves us. He desires for us to know the truth. And so he sends to them two angels. It says that they were dazzling white. And I love how some of the translations say their clothing was like lightning. It was so intense. And so anyways, when they encountered these beings, as we could say, what do? They're afraid. We see this often throughout the scripture. But our God does not want us in a spirit of fear. He doesn't want us in the spirit of fear. And I love how it is. It's because as soon as they said that, they were frightened and they bowed their faces to the ground. And so in other scriptures, it says very plainly, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. When Jesus encounters his disciples, his apostles in the upper room after the great resurrection, the first thing he brings is peace. And that's what this message of Easter should bring for each and every one of us, that we are at peace with God because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Our slate is clean. But they ask, these angels ask a question that's very, very powerful. And it's good for us to ask the same question to ourselves. Why? Why are you seeking the living amongst the dead? How many times in our life have we done that? The fact of it is that Jesus is not dead, that he is victoriously risen, and that God has not allowed him to see corruption, but has called him forth as he has promised. When Jesus breathed those words on Good Friday and said, "It is finished," that was a completed work, that the restoration of humankind is complete. The work is done. Now it's received by grace through faith. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we do not worship a ghost. We do not worship a historical Christ. We worship in reality a living God who has been resurrected and stands at the right hand of God the Father as an advocate for you and I. As the world and as people around us accuse us and point fingers, the scripture says very plainly that Jesus is there as an advocate so that we in reality can have freedom. This is a day of celebration that our sentence has been stayed. So many times in our life we allow false accusations or difficulties of past to hold us pinned to the ground. But the reality of it is that Jesus knew exactly what we needed and why we needed it. And it did not stop him. He went to the cross. He paid the price. He paid the penalty so that we could have freedom. Of all people, we should be celebrating. Victorious. Because our God has loved us so much. Why? Why do you seek the living among the dead? Because they didn't know. Because they didn't understand. It was far from them because they didn't grasp what was going on. And I say that for a reason. Do you ever get frustrated with some of your family or some of your friends or some of the world that we say just don't get it? Well, if you don't know, you don't know. And they didn't understand because yet they didn't have the power of the Spirit in their lives. They didn't have the proof of the resurrection. They didn't have any of this. They were new. We sit on the other side, as Paul Harvey says, we know the rest of the story. But the fact of it is, I suppose I got to stop quoting Paul Harvey. That's getting so old now. Poor guy. But the fact of it is, we as believers, we know. But we need to have patience with those that do not know. And we need to share the love of Christ with them so that they may know. That's exactly what Scripture tells us to do. Why? He's not here. You're looking in the wrong place. He's not here. He said, he's risen. He said, and I want you to recall what Jesus shared with you. See, because Jesus never kept a secret from anybody. He says, remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee? And I love this because he's putting identifying marks there, because I'm a person that can remember things better and better as where I am. In other words, if my wife tells me, oh yeah, I told you about this, and I'm like, no you didn't. Hun, we were in the car, we were heading to church last Sunday, and this song was on the radio, and I said, oh, boom. And I'm like, all the identifiers are there. You're right. You did tell me that. See, Scripture even gives us the identifiers. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee? That the Son of Man must be delivered. And this is an interesting thing. Didn't say will be. but actually must be delivered, because the whole hope of the world hangs in this balance. See, Jesus, and I've brought this out in many different sermons, but the fact of it is you can see many places in his ministry where he kind of comes to, if I could say in a human sense, a crossroad, where there's a difficult task before him, and it's going to be very heavy to do, but yet because he sees how human beings are and our frailness, he must do it. It's another confirmation to go to the cross. There are so many of those instances in Scripture that are so powerful, and this is why I believe this angel speaks in that fashion. He says, he must. There is no other way. Even Jesus, in his anguish in the Garden of Gethsemane, he understood this. And he was praying that if it was possible, at all if it was possible, to let this cup pass from him. But what does he say? But not my will, Father, but your will. Your will. He submitted to the death of the cross. Why? Because I couldn't. You couldn't. We live in a world that has so much negativity. We can find positive if we look for it, but negativity comes out more powerfully. We live in a world that says a lot of people don't have value. Human life doesn't have value. You can extinguish it at any time. We live in a world that causes us so much pain and anguish at times. But Jesus, he saw our value. He saw exactly who we are in the image of God. And he came to restore that image so that we could have this life. And why do I say this? And why do we preach this so often? Because when we listen to negativity, whether it be on social media or whether it be on the news or whether it be just in our battles of daily life, we get bombarded by our value is not there. And it is a lie from the pit. Your God came to this earth. Your God came for you, and he gave himself in your behalf so that you could have victory over all of these issues. Doesn't mean that we're not going to struggle. Doesn't mean that we're not going to have days that are bad or rough. It means that we're not alone and that he will see us through these. Don't you remember that he told you that he must be delivered? He must be delivered over the hands of sinful men. And he in reality will be crucified and then on the third day he will raise again, victorious. And it says when the angel said this to them, what happens? It triggered. It's like kind of a testimony that Erica gave about the song, how it reminds her of being a young girl. When things are heard, they trigger our memory. And God does that for a purpose. We have a lot of beautiful memories. We have a lot of beautiful information that we've been told throughout our life. And God wants us to remember it, especially when it comes to his word and his sanctification. So they remembered the words. And it says here that they're leaving the tomb. And they went and they told the 11 and all the other people that were with them. And we're given an indication of who these women were: Mary Magdalene, Jonah, Mary the mother of James, and other women. There was actually some others, the other Gospels name them, Siloam, and different ones that are with them. Once again, the women being the first ones there. But in our humanness, but these words seem to them as an idle tale. And they didn't believe. Because without the revelation of the Spirit, we cannot believe. Without the revelation of God, we cannot see it. And to me, that's what's so most important. It's awesome. I praise the Heavenly Father for each and every soul that walks through these doors on a Sunday morning. But the greatest thing we could also do to encourage our faith is this. Open this Bible. It is not a dead word. It is a living word. It is not a historical word. It continues to give life even each every day that we live now. This word is so important. And I think we have opportunity. I mean, we got cell phones. And I have 3 different translations downloaded in that thing. So you can listen anywhere. You have this in a paper form that you can listen and read. Read it out loud. Feel it. Know it. Because it is a living word. It says that they just very plainly, some of them just couldn't believe. And like I said, we have a tendency to pick on one. But they all had that tendency in their humanness. But I think it's interesting, because who's the one to get up and run the first? It says Peter. Remember, he denied Christ three times, and he wept bitterly over that, because Jesus told him it was going to happen. It wasn't a surprise to God. See, when Jesse Aho screws up, God's not surprised. He knows. But he forgives. See, because even in one of the other Gospels, the angel tells the women, and tell Peter that he is resurrected. Because Peter was living in his sin. You know, in other words, it was consuming him that he denied. And it was probably crushing him. See, and our God doesn't want us that way. Sometimes religion of men wants to persecute and put pressure on that's undue. Or maybe we justify it, but we don't need to live in it. God doesn't want that. Go and tell Peter that he's resurrected. So Peter gets up, and he runs to the tomb, and he's looking in. And he saw the linen clothes, and in the other Gospels, this is an amazing thing, because there's a lot of other, in the other Gospels now, the religious leaders of the time for the children of Israel say, well, to the guards that were there, you know what? You got to just tell everybody that the disciples stole them. While you fell asleep, the guards that the Roman soldiers put there, while you fell asleep, they came in and stole him. Well, first and foremost, those guards would have been killed for that. If they fell asleep on the job, they wouldn't have been around. But even the religious leaders of Israel say at that time, and we'll take care of, you know, Caesar if he hears about this. We'll take care of that. Or Pilate. But the fact of it is, they say there's a rumor that he was stolen. And they actually paid off the guards too. They gave him money, just like Judas got money. That's human beings and their politics. We get all messed up. But it says in the Gospels that the clothes were folded up. His grave clothes were folded up and put nicely there. That's not by accident either. If you're going to steal something and you're going to steal a body out of a tomb, are you going to take the time to fold up clothes and put them nice and neat? Our God is victorious. And he was not intimidated by human beings. He rose up from that grave victoriously, and he, if I could say it this way, nonchalantly walked out of there. It was him. So he sat there seeing this, and he saw those grave clothes, and he kind of was marveling what had happened. And this is actually a beautiful place, because Peter is marveling about this. He's thinking about it. And Christ will reveal himself to all of them in the upper room. They will have this opportunity to have this experience. But what I think is beautiful after this, the second seeing of Jesus is on the road to Emmaus. And when they're on the road to Emmaus, there's two of them that are walking away, and they're very depressed about everything that took place. And Jesus walks up alongside of them. See, our God, once again, wants to know how we're feeling, what we're going through, what we need. And so he's walking alongside of them, and it's right after this text that we read. And they're talking about all the events, and they're so glum, and Jesus is like, why are you guys so sad? What's going on? And they literally look at him and say, well, where have you been? Haven't you heard about Jesus of Nazareth and all the things that have gone on? I mean, you're living under a rock. What's going on around here? I mean, everybody heard about this. But what does it say? Then Jesus, he sat there and he walked with them, but he shared everything about him from the prophets of old. And then they went into the house, and he does the most unrealistic thing for human understanding. He's not the guest. I mean, he's the guest. He's not the host. But it says that in the house, he sits down, and he breaks the bread. And in the breaking of bread is revealed to him, to them, exactly who he is. And these disciples are so excited. Jesus vanishes from their midst, and they go run and give another testimony to those in the upper room. Our God is alive. And if we take the scripture and if we open the scripture and we read the accounts, it'll give us such an encouragement that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loved us. Because see, I say that statement a lot, but being more than a conqueror means the battle is won. I don't have to go back and fight it. It's been done. Thanks be to God for this Easter day. Thanks be to God for that empty tomb. And I pray that each and every one of us really relishes in the freedoms we've received in Christ Jesus. Because heaven is not a consolation prize. It is a victory. And I will say that till I am there. I pray I will anyways, right? And so the fact of it is that yes, we will see difficulty. We will see trial. But we have a God that has tasted each and every moment of that and has victoriously secured salvation and eternity for each and every one of us. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you for the gift of Easter. We thank you, Father, for the life of Christ, as even Luther would say, the great exchange. The guilty become the innocent, and the innocent took the guilt. Father, we pray for faith, we pray for spirit, we pray for encouragement for each and every one that is gathered here this morning. That, Father, each and every one of us would know this victory for ourselves. And, Father, we pray for this world, that you would continually allow your word to go out into this world to impact those lives, especially those that are confused and don't know. We pray that you would allow us to be ambassadors, encouragers, and strengtheners, all by the power of your spirit and nothing of the flesh. Father, there may be a lot of things in Scripture that we don't understand, but allow us to read it, to meditate upon it, and your spirit to speak it into our hearts, that we would be encouraged. For we are your children, and you are our God. In Christ Jesus, is the Savior. Now the Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.